One of Wilbur's great loves and one of his major functions throughout his career was to work with the American Public Welfare Association. And Sid Johnson, who is currently the executive director of that association, however, was also a very close personal friend way before he became the executive director. So I want to call on Sid now as a friend.
Thank you, Bob. Mrs. Cohen, the Cohen family, what I think we can only refer to as the members of the Cohen extended family, it's an honor to be here. To be here to express sorrow and to express the joy of Wilbur's energetic and caring life and contributions. I was blessed. Wilbur was my first boss. I was his special assistant out of graduate school. He was my first boss and my ongoing mentor. I want to share with you a couple of the memories and anecdotes that are meaningful to me. The first had to do with working with Congress. He sent me down the first month or so to see a hearing in which a well-known welfare expert was testifying. And this expert came in and made a profoundly effective presentation to the Finance Committee. It was brilliant. The next morning was on the front page of the New York Times. His proposals were described in length. And I went to Wilbur and I reported the hearing. I said, I don't understand this, Wilbur. You know 10 times as much about the welfare system as this particular person does. And he gets all the visibility. And he said, Sid, let me tell you why. He said, people like that come in and make brilliant presentations, have all the answers, and the committee tends to feel stupid and get uninvolved. And when they leave, their proposals lay on the table. He says, my strategy is to go to Congress and explain the problem and talk around a possible solution as many times as it takes for the chairman to say, Cohen, what you ought to do is X. And I say, you're right, Mr. Chairman, I'll support you. And he says, the bills get passed. Another vignette had to do with the Poor People's Campaign. He was a member of the administration, a cabinet member. It was tense with Resurrection City. The White House had a very strict set of rules about when cabinet members could meet with representatives of the Poor People's Campaign, when offices would be open and all the rest. Several apartment buildings, not HEW, were closed. And he said, just kind of find out what's happening, let me know, because I want to meet with them. So they came to HEW, and they were told they couldn't come. And he said, let them in. He said, they pay taxes. This is their building as much as anybody else's. He says, tell me when I should come down and meet with them. So I listened to the demands, and they started chanting, finally, we want Wilbur. We want Wilbur. And I went up to get Wilbur, and we walked down, and it's a very carefully disciplined group with marshals and tight regimen. And we walked in, and one of the marshals says, wait a minute. He said, you can't come in here. We want Wilbur. He says, I'm Wilbur. He throws his arm around and walks down to the stage and talks and listens for about an hour. And I think had a very productive exchange. Another anecdote, I had the pleasure of visiting with Eloise and Wilbur in the beginning of May this year, and we were talking about old times, and I was reminding him how he had left office at about 5 minutes of 12 on January 20th, Inauguration Day, when Richard Nixon came in. He was signing documents, he was getting everything done, or as much as he could, and I said, you know, I'll never forget that. You stayed till the last minute. He said, I tried. But about a year later, I talked to Arthur Fleming, and Arthur told me I could have gone home and kept signing for another day until my successor was sworn in. He says, I'll always regret that day. I'll close with that, an anecdote I shared with Bruce Cohen, and he encouraged me to say here because it reflected Wilbur's approach to so many of us. He was always someone who encouraged me. He encouraged me as a very much a rookie, special assistant of his. He encouraged me throughout my career, and I was telling Bruce recently that When I had an approach in the American Public Welfare Association, I was quite happy in another job. I really wasn't looking for it. I thought I might interview, but I didn't know. And so I called Wilbur. And Wilbur says, I can't talk now, but call me tomorrow night at 8:30, and we'll talk as long as it needs. Inside of 20 minutes, he had explained to me the potentials, the history of this association, the hope, the changes that could be made, and got me terribly enthusiastic, and he was right, and all that has happened, and I think he has just a unique capacity, as many have spoken of, instilling optimism and hope. He also had other ways of encouraging you. I remember I had been there 2 weeks, and he said, I'm supposed to give this speech to the Ann Arbor Medical Association about Medicare and the problems. He said, they fought me from the beginning. I can't make it. I'd like to send you. Well, I went, and he said, just remember, he said, give the speech, and just remember that the important thing is, in all of our work, is to listen to the current concerns of people who may not agree with us. And I think that was one of the attributes he had and has passed on to many of us in the room. I'll close by saying that along with all the significant laws that he left us and the American people, he left some enduring memories like these, enduring values, enduring commitments to us and to all the others whose lives he touched and encouraged and loved. And above all, as others have said, he left us with an enduring sense of responsibility to keep working on the things that he cared about. Thank you.